Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, we're going to talk about the crazy race for mayor of Reno. 18 candidates. We'll talk with Fred Locken of TMCC. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Ray Hager, Howard Rosenberg, Trey Abney, and Jill Derby. It's all coming up next on all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI water and sewer companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard, while biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
TravelNevada.com.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're joined by Fred Locken, the professor of political science at Truckee Meadows Community College. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Thanks, Sam.
So Ray Hager from the Reno Gazette-Journal on this program loves to use the word Lollapalooza. And I think that that aptly describes the Reno mayor's race, because we started out with 20 candidates. Now we're down to, what, 18?
18.
This reminds me of the 99 candidates that ran for governor of California that ended up with us having Arnold Schwarzenegger as governor of California. What do you make of this, and what do you make of the citizens' ability to cut through and come down with two people who might be actually good mayors?
Well, you guys ask the philosophical question, is there ever a time when you could have too much democracy? And this is probably an example of that. Frankly, it's overwhelming to those who vote in the Reno elections, and let's face it, voter turnout in cities like Reno across the state, very low, especially for a primary election. So it's difficult enough when you only have a couple of candidates. You at least stand a chance for the individual voter to get to know them and be able to make some decisions. But this is just simply overwhelming, and it's dividing a very limited base of finance that might be available. So none of the candidates are doing the job they'd probably like to be doing in this primary cycle. So getting the word out, understanding the differences in the candidates, somehow trying to represent 18 different voices in any conversation is making it, frankly, impossible.
So how many, you know, if you break it down, knowing what the percentages have been in primary elections previously, realistically, how many votes would it take for somebody to come in number one or number two?
Well,
be about 2,500, 3,000 votes?
I would say yes. The simple reality is that we know nationally and statistically large candidate pools tend to reduce voter turnout. They don't encourage more because people just run away from it. They just don't know what to do. And so we will likely have a very poor voter turnout, and then you'd be dividing that very small pie. So yes, I would say it'll be, and in fact, you know, it could even be a very close election between two top candidates because the vote pool will be so small.
And it's interesting because so far, nobody's gone on the attack, and so you don't have a lightning focus on, you know, two or perhaps three candidates who are all attacking each other, like you would see, for example, in the lieutenant governor's race. So there's even less interest there.
Well, that's it. What we're being overwhelmed with are signs, signs. Everywhere there are signs. And we're talking about 5 weeks from the election, really. And no one knows anything about anyone right now. I haven't seen the mailings really coming out in any numbers yet. The yard sign campaign seems to be the only place it's been happening. We haven't had the media's ability to really sort through this other than one Sunday article that basically just introduced us to the candidates. So for the voter, they are significantly disadvantaged in the city of Reno on this issue.
And for the broadcasters, they're doing their level best public radio here at News 4, interviewing as many of the candidates as we can get on the air. It's impossible to do it on a statewide program like this just because we don't have a time or the attention span of people who live outside of the Reno area that would care about the Reno mayoral race, but we'll certainly do things, you know, after the primary. The Reno Gazette Journal had a forum the other evening where they brought in all of the candidates who are still in the race. What was your thought on that?
Well, I was surprised they even tried. My hat's off to them. I mean, they recognize this gap that voters are dealing with in terms of information about the candidates, but whether we deal with the California example or we've had primary elections for the National Republican Party where we put 14 to 16 to 18 people on the stage, and there's no time for any dialogue. There's no real opportunity to learn from the experience. I think a lot of voters came away from the experience that they tried to have, not learning a thing about the candidates.
And in particular, the United States primary race there for presidential, it was more like a game show. I kept waiting for AT&T to say, you know, text in at this number for 99 cents to pick your winner. I think that would have made perhaps it more exciting and made more sense, but that's exactly what it appeared to be.
Well, and in those events, unfortunately, if you're a candidate, if you take it from the candidate's point of view, the idea here is you want to break out of this pack. You want to be recognized. So it can actually promote some obtuse behavior or comments that turn it into almost a circus atmosphere. That did not happen with the efforts between Channel 5 and the RGJ. But there was a large risk of that happening as someone just desperately tried to be recognized within the group.
You know, it was interesting. I did moderated debates for the U.S. Senate race in Nevada the last time Harry Reid ran, and I think there were six or eight candidates on the Republican side. It was very difficult for anybody, you know, because you ask one question, they've all got to have an opportunity to answer it. It just makes it incredibly difficult. Well, there are some interesting wrenches being thrown into this that I haven't seen before, so let's take a break and we'll come back to those right after this timeout.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're continuing our conversation with Fred Locken, professor of political science at Truckee Meadows Community College. We're talking about the Reno City mayoral race that has currently about 18 candidates in there and the difficulty they have getting out the message. Did you want to finish up something before we move on to the next topic?
Well, I was just going to comment that, you know, the oddest thing is that normally in the Reno races, we have candidates that are supported by certain sectors. The odd thing that I've been watching this time is that we haven't seen any coalescing yet behind what would be said to be the business community candidate. There are a couple within the 18 that would certainly identify within the business community, which means that pie is also being divided. The resources that could flow to a campaign might allow for that candidate to be really a standout with the field of 18 just isn't happening yet.
Interesting thing that the Reno Gazette Journal is doing is they're not just looking at what people are saying publicly and in interviews, but they're also looking at social media, Facebook, Twitter followers, things like that. And I thought to myself, this is very interesting because I, for example, I do have a Twitter feed. I have never used it. And the reason is that I don't want to get into a big discussion and arguments and backward and forward. And I don't think this show is about my opinions, even though I certainly bring them out from time to time. But it's about the opinions of the guests and the topics. And so that Twitter has been a no-go for me. I do post things occasionally on Facebook, but they tend to be announcement-type things. And so if I were running, I would feel that you know, I was getting a kind of a black mark upon me because I am not actively involved in social media, because I think the program speaks for itself.
Well, we certainly, since the Obama election of 2008, have seen the arrival of social media as a factor in campaigns. The problem with a primary election is that only a subset of the registered voters turn up and vote. And that tends to be a very inconsistent social media population. Most of them would not be on Facebook. Most of them would not be on Twitter. And so they're not being able to sample the most likely or typical voter to show up on June 10th.
The other thing, too, is that I find that, what I'll do is I'll go onto Twitter and I'll find people who I like or am interested in, and I'll look at all the comments that they've made and the things they've talked about over the last couple of months. And I really don't feel that I'm missing anything by not having, you know, at that moment, because when I did sign up initially for Twitter, it was overwhelming, the amount of stuff that was on there. So it just seems that maybe it's an age thing, that we have a division here where younger voters, if they are going to actually go out and vote, may be encouraged to a greater extent by social media. But do you think that the judgment of the newspaper is appropriate in using social media as a means of, you know, weighing a candidate's viability?
I think they'll be disappointed in the results. I see an entirely disconnect from what they will monitor versus what will happen on June 10th. But I think that especially the media industry is trying to make sense of how to track voter turnout. The old polling device that's been used nationally for years, and we conduct polls even statewide during major election cycles, is now very inaccurate because so many people have given up their landlines. And so trying to figure out what voters are thinking is a major challenge to media outlets who are trying to report on the election process. So I certainly invite them to try, but I can almost guarantee that they'll be very disappointed with the results.
Do you think that the advent of social media will encourage more younger people? And when I say younger people, I'm thinking
maybe 25 to 40 years of age, to go out and vote because they are active business owners, they are active in the community, and they are certainly coalescing around one or two candidates.
They are, except that they are extremely cynical about the political process and about as disconnected as they can be from it. So it is going to take a lot of work on the part of political parties and, frankly, even a society and culture that makes voting and participation important again. They are completely tuned out. That's part of the problem, is that we only hear one portion of the chorus of voters in any election, and especially in a primary election. But that under 40 group has been one of the least represented. Certainly the one under, you know, 25 and below, they're not even paying attention. And that's really problematic, because many of the things, even at a level of local government like Reno, really impacts their lives. They just don't realize.
But you know what? I mean, think back to when you were 19. I mean,
I was voting.
You were voting. See, I was working in nightclubs and living a despicable life. You know, my interest in politics came, you know, probably a decade later. So, you know, mid to late 20s. You know, it's interesting. You talk about political parties. You know, their relevance at this point is just seeping away, because there's so much more money being invested privately into the political process that isn't going to the parties.
Well, and we just had headlines again this week that indicate that in the elections across the United States, most of the money at this point in time is flowing from the special interest groups. The political parties are literally on the sidelines and watching, completely backwards from what we've historically known and what I would have historically taught in a class. So the environment for campaigning, the challenges that candidates have in even making their way through this, everything's up in the air right now.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what occurs. We have about a minute left, and I was just thinking your thoughts on the possibilities of Las Vegas getting both the Republican and Democratic national conventions.
Well, they could certainly handle it, and, you know, maybe spending some time in Sin City would be healthy for both parties. I actually, my hat's off to Clark County. They have done an outstanding job in making the case for Nevada as a venue for these as a Western state, as now a growing Western state again, with the issues that we have in the West, the chance to have not one but possibly both of these conventions in the West to highlight our regional issues would be a real coup.
Has that ever happened?
Never.
No.
Not that I'm aware of, no.
But certainly, as you say, Las Vegas handle it. The other thing, we've got about 30 seconds, oh no, about 15 seconds left here, is, you know, as you read the newspapers for the medical marijuana boom and tying that into tourism in Clark County, does that scare you a little?
Well, I'm surprised we haven't done it yet. We usually do the edgy stuff. We're just not in this one for some reason.
That's where we got to leave it. Fred Locken, always a pleasure. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
When it comes to delivering energy, a lot happens behind the scenes. NV Energy generates thousands of megawatts of energy and moves it along miles and miles of transmission and distribution lines to Nevada homes and businesses. So when you flip a switch or push a button, there are no surprises.
Accidents happen every day. They change lives in an instant.
But what happens next is critical. That's why you need expert legal representation.
We work for the insurance companies. We know their tricks.
Galloway and Jensen, we fight for you.
Accidents happen every day. They change lives in an instant.
When you've been injured, you're going to have questions.
We have the answers and the experience.
Call Galloway and Jensen, 333-7555. We fight for you.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Trey Abney is here, Director of Government Relations with the Chamber. Joel Derby is the former Nevada Democratic Party chair. And Howard Rosenberg is Howard Rosenberg. So let's start out with what happened yesterday. The judge in Carson City, Judge Russell, threw out the description of the voter ID initiative, but he rewrote it himself. And it seems that both the Sharon Angle camp and the ACLU came away feeling that they had a victory in there. Your thoughts on this?
Yeah, it seems to be, and this happens a lot now in Nevada when people submit initiative petitions, judges look at it, because every time the other side challenges it, and it's usually on the 200-word description, which I think is what we're talking about here, every time the other side challenges it, try to get it thrown out. We tried it with the margin tax over the last couple years. And so now he's rewritten a couple parts, and then I think what's interesting is he put a part in there talking about significant cost to the state,
right?
Because part of it
that
requires,
was a big deal.
Part of it requires a free ID, a state agency having to provide free ID for anybody that doesn't have driver's licenses in the normal
and
methods.
You know, and I agree with that. There, you know, I'm one of those people that I like the idea of taxes being for a specific thing,
right?
And I think that, you know, if we have a problem with voter fraud in this country, which we really don't appear to have on any major scale,
yeah.
But if we do, I'm willing to put some tax money towards getting people those free IDs if they genuinely can't afford them. How about you?
Fine. That's fine. I don't know how much it is. I'd be curious to see what the fiscal note would be on something like that. I have no idea.
Jill, your thoughts on, you know, basically
voter fraud is not a major issue or a minor issue or a tiny issue. I mean, it just really is pretty non-existent. So, you know.
That really isn't true. And I'm not saying it's rampant in any case.
No, I've read the statistics across the country. It's just a very minor issue.
You fly all over the world, right?
Oh, I do. Yes,
you do. You do. And what do you have to do when you get to the airport?
No, and I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that.
So flying, it's okay to have an ID. Voting, the most important thing that any of us citizens do, not okay to have an ID.
Well, let's be honest about what's really behind it, and what's behind it is voter suppression, and I think we ought to more and more people vote. If voter fraud were an issue, Sam, it really has not been an issue.
Okay. Go ahead,
here's an easier way to solve this, and it goes back to what Ross Miller's plan was, is to have don't give people a photo ID that you got to pay for. Just have their photo on file in a state repository for photos. You could run this through the DMV and use your photo as a way of identifying yourself instead of your signature. That would be the easiest way, and I, you know.
Well, and his plan had people at the polls with almost, you know, iPads or whatever, and you would walk up, they'd match your picture, and if you didn't have a picture, they'd take one of you,
yeah.
And it'd be a provisional ballot.
And there's no.
I know the county clerks were, I mean, it was going to be a cost to them, you know, to run those kinds of
things. It is important to provide people with access to whatever they need to get to the voting polls. I just don't want to see anything that suppresses the vote.
And
because we don't have a high enough
you.
Percentage of voters as it is
right.
across this
and
country.
And I am 100% with you. But if there's somebody that doesn't have ID, you know, and I'm told it's 10% of the population,
yes.
Which I don't believe it's that great. I just don't believe it. How do people live their lives? How do they go to the bank?
What about seniors that have to give up their driver's licenses?
Right, but could they not get an ID card based on
yes,
that?
But if you're 95 and have trouble getting around, it's not such an easy thing, and it would discourage you from going to vote.
Howard, now speaking for the 95, I'm kidding, but your thoughts on this?
The photograph part of it is really very simple. At the university, we now have all of our classes online, and all I need to do is push a button, and it shows me the student's picture along with the information that I need to know that he's a member of my class.
You have the photo online.
It's very quick and very simple. I think what most people are really getting scared about is it's more intrusive. You have to have this card, then you have to have that card. Where is it going to stop? And you also throw in the word, the three-letter word, tax, which scares the living
Jesus out
of everyone.
But you know what? Actually, that has not been the big issue until the judge just raised the fact that there should be a fiscal note on that.
Exactly.
There is gonna be cost. You have an iPhone, right?
Yes.
So
I think so.
You are constantly being tracked everywhere you go.
through your iPhone, through the GPS?
Not necessarily. One of my children took out that little chip that shows people where I am.
But you go online, correct?
What does that mean?
That you go online onto the web and look at things?
Yes.
Okay, and do you know you're being tracked all the time? If your cookies are enabled on the computer, you are being tracked all the time.
I beg your pardon, cookies? Excuse me.
When you go and look at an advertisement, the next 6 months, you're going to see those advertisements for that product popping up on your websites because they're tracking you. Go ahead, Jill.
No, I mean, that's the world we live in, isn't it? And sometimes, frankly, it's quite convenient. I see something pop up and I think, yeah, I am interested in that. But, I mean, that's not going to get rolled back, Sam. And I don't think that's a huge issue in this whole debate. I think it really gets down to how are you going to deal with that 10% that don't have photo IDs? How do you get them to get photo ID?
I am willing. Every party goes to great lengths to get people to the polls, right? Mm-hmm. To get them to vote. Those same people who get people to go to the polls should go out and do it over 5 years. Don't do it for just the next election, but find all the people that don't have IDs that you think are going to be voters and get them IDs. And the state, if they can't afford it, the state should pay for it.
I'd be all for that if, in fact, it's required that they have the photo ID.
All right, and that's where we got to leave it. We are out of time. Spirited discussion.
Really we'll get be right to the point where you
we'll be right back.
Real talking.
When a client comes to our office, they're concerned. They're concerned about the pain they're in. They're concerned about their future. Our clients are the victims in these cases, and they deserve a fair settlement.
Go lightly in Vanna. 222-3333.
In California, it's all about delicious local flavors with an indulgent twist. Now at Subway restaurants, make your favorite sub California style by adding fresh sliced avocado and crispy bacon. Taste that Golden State flavor, like the California style oven roasted chicken. Tender chicken topped with your choice of crisp veggies on freshly baked bread with flavorful bacon and avocado. Also try it on a classic turkey breast or the egg white and cheese. California style, now at your neighborhood Subway. Subway, eat fresh.
Do you like persuasion? Incentives? I know I do. And you are going to love the new and most generous incentives that Fiat has ever offered. Just listen to this.
Right now, you can drive away in a new 2014 Fiat 500L for as little as $18,000. Save almost $2,000 off MSRP. This four-door urban utility vehicle means a remarkable amount of space for passengers as well as stuff.
And why do I love talking about Fiat so much? Take a look at what I'm driving.
It's been 1 month since these women started the doctor's diet.
I want you all to take a look at this picture of all the ladies before.
The unbelievable results. Then, tired of looking like this in pictures?
It would be like in layers of wrinkles.
A new procedure that will rid your neck of wrinkles. And Robin McGraw, how her new app can save millions of lives.
You found a way to use technology to protect yourself.
New doctors.
Recycle Furniture in Midtown Reno has been family-owned and operated for over 30 years. We buy and sell only quality-used furniture. With inventory arriving daily, we price our merchandise to sell quickly. For great deals on slightly used furniture that's new to you, come see us at Recycle Furniture.
Among the guests coming up next week, Assemblyman Randy Kerner and the great debate on the Republican side for Lieutenant Governor. We'll see you on the next broadcast.